If it's God's will, I'd like to begin looking at the life of Moses on Sunday nights. Not that I plan on looking at every event in this great man of God's life, but I want to begin looking at his life, and I think there's a lot of things we can learn from Moses, how God used him. And I think we'll see as we look at this life that God has recorded for us in his word, I think we'll see very clearly, obviously, he was a very special person in the plan of God. And yet I think we'll also see that he's very much like we are. He was a fallen man. As we read the Bible, I think we'll see how he grew in the grace of God and grew closer to God, and how he overcame his weaknesses and trials. So I'm hoping that the Lord would bless us and would help us in this as we all grow together and look at his word. When I think of Moses, I think of Moses as foreshadowing Christ. And this is the way I think about it. This is, in my thinking, it helps me to view it this way. It's like if I had my hand here and I stuck it out and the light was in the right positions, you could see the shadow of my hand. And someone would say, look at the shadow, and they'd look at the shadow, and they would say, it's a hand. You know, in one sense, it is a hand. But yet, obviously, it's not a hand, it's the shadow of a hand. But it looks enough like a shadow to see that it's a hand. And in the same way, you look at Moses, you see weakness, you see sin at times. One time specifically that I'm thinking about right now, you see these things. And yet, he was a deliverer. He was specially used of God as a deliverer. And though he has weakness, we look at Moses, we see a man who was a deliverer, who God used to bring his people out of Egypt. We see that plainly. And yet, if we look at Moses correctly, what we'll see is Moses points to the real deliverer. That's what we'll see in the life of Moses. He was a great man. He was a deliverer of God's people. And yet at the same time, Moses was not the deliverer. It's just like a shadow. You stick your hand out, you see a shadow. If you're interested to see what is casting that shadow, you look. You see the shadow, you look. The shadow is pointing to something else, and Moses is pointing to something else. As we look here in the Bible, he's pointing to Jesus. And I think this, hopefully the Lord will, and I trust the Lord will bless us at this time as we look at this. Of course, we are going to look at the birth of Moses and be more specific tonight. We're going to look at an event surrounding or around the birth of Moses. And of course, this may not come as a shocker, the birth of Moses is about Moses. And yet, it's not about Moses. Ultimately, it's about God. But when you look at the story, you see a story about people who feared God, who were faithful to God, and God used them to bring in this great servant of the Lord. And I want us to look, we're going to read, you hold your place in Exodus 1. I'm going to read a scripture from Hebrews 11. We could also look at Acts 7. I'm not going to tonight, though. But I want us to read a larger portion than normal in Exodus. In just a moment, we'll start in Exodus 15, chapter 1, verse 15. And we'll read chapter 2, verse 10. But I want to read first one verse from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says this. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now Exodus 1, we'll start reading verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them." So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." This is what I want us to see tonight. We look at these women of God, these women who were faithful to God. We look at, as well, we just briefly look at probably Moses' mom and dad tonight as well. This is what I want us to see, that we need to be faithful to God and leave the results to Him. We, as God's people, as we go through life, as we serve the Lord, our duty and our responsibility is to be faithful to God, to fear Him, to obey Him, to be faithful to Him, and to leave the results to Him. And when I say leave the results to Him, what I mean is, as we go through life, we're being faithful, and whatever happens in this life to us, in reality, we don't have control of. But under God, as God's people, we have control of us being faithful in what God has called us to do. We have control of us obeying God, no matter what the circumstances may be, even though we can't control what will happen from the outcome of our obedience. We have the responsibility to be faithful and trust God with what happens to us. And I want us to consider here at the beginning the midwives. Look back in verse 15. Let's look at the example of the midwives. Verse 15, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said," and listen to what he says here, and I want you to remember, this is, under God, the most powerful man in the world, who is leading at this time the greatest nation in the world. He's Pharaoh, he's the king of Egypt, he has the most powerful army in the world, he has all these things. And look what he says in verse 16. The Bible says, "And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.'" Now, why is Pharaoh telling these midwives, who were probably the chief of the midwives in Israel, why was Pharaoh telling them this? Look what it says in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1. "And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.'" This is population control. They've already tried hard labor. It's not worked. God's blessed his people anyway. And now they're trying, and we'll see, at least we read in verse 22, Pharaoh's plan has to go even more devious after the midwives don't obey him. But the Pharaoh is trying to control the population. He has told the midwives to do something wrong, to do something against their consciences. Look what it says in verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Listen, every day we have, whether it's from the external, people around us, things around us, from the internal, our own flesh, our own worldly desires, we have desires that go against the will of God. We have people who want to lead us against the will of God and to go against what God wants us to do. And one of the big questions we have to ask ourselves is, whose opinion really matters? And for the midwives here, the opinion they had and the opinion that they honored was what God thought. And instead of fearing the most powerful man in the world, the midwives feared God and obeyed him. And look at what verse 18 says. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" Now that's where the rubber meets the road here. They're told to do something wrong. They will not obey it. They will obey God. They will do what is right. And what happens? Reckoning has to come. They did a righteous deed. Guess what? The king is wicked and he's going to bring them to account for their righteous deed. And it's at that moment, they walk in. What do you think the thoughts are going through their mind? I don't know, but I know this. They had determined in their heart before this ever happened, they were going to obey God and leave whatever the results were to him. They did not know what was going to happen when they disobeyed the king of Egypt. They did not know what was going to happen when he called them forth to give an account of their righteous deed because he's a wicked man, a wicked, wicked man. They did not know what was going to happen. But they did know this, that they were going to fear God, obey him, be faithful, and leave the results to God. And look what it says in verse 20 and 21. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Do you believe that God honors faithfulness tonight? Do we believe that as God's people? God will honor the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, that determines in their heart to obey him, regardless of what's going to happen. God will honor that person. Here are the midwives. He blesses them with families. He blesses them. But I want you to notice in the Bible here another way that the midwives are honored by God. Let me ask you this question. From your Bible reading, what is the name of Pharaoh or the king of Egypt? What is his name? What does the Bible record about the name of Pharaoh? And here's the answer. It does not tell us the name of Pharaoh. It does not tell us who the most powerful man in the world at this time was. Moses did not think that that was important enough to include it under the Spirit to write that. But Moses did think it was important enough to record the two names of the midwives here in verse 15, Shiphrah and Puah. Two people that the world would think didn't matter. Two people that the most powerful nation in the world would think were insignificant. God thought it, and this is a book, you read the book, there's not many names mentioned at the beginning at least. There's not many names. Pharaoh's not named. The elders of Israel, at least at the beginning, they're not named. But two midwives, who were probably advanced in years, who feared God, would not obey the king, and obeyed God, their names are remembered. While the king of Egypt, we don't even know his name. Listen, God evaluates things different than people, doesn't he? When you go through your life and you're living for God and you're obeying God, God evaluates things differently than the world does. God has honored these women throughout the history of Israel. They are heroes in Israel. It was at least in part because of them that Moses came to be. God used them as he used Moses' mom and dad, who did not fear the king's command, but obeyed what their consciences and obeyed what the word of God told them to save their child and to not throw him away. Now, this is not the only place we see something like this. This is very similar to Matthew chapter 1. Listen to what verse 6 says. This is the genealogy of Jesus. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Listen to that. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now we know who the her there is speaking of. It's speaking of Bathsheba. But God did not honor here Bathsheba. God honored Uriah for his faithfulness. God honors people who are faithful. But this is something we have to come to terms with. And it's very good too. And we all need help with it. Is that God honors faithfulness differently in this world. And what I mean is, no two cases are the same. Whenever we're faithful to God, what happens to us may be different than the other person who's faithful to God. The midwives here in Exodus 1, what happened? God blessed them. They were not put to death. They escaped the king of Egypt. They were blessed with families. They were faithful to God. Do you believe that God honors faithfulness? Yes. And at the same time, Uriah was faithful. His king turned upon him to take his wife. His king betrayed him. Uriah was faithful in different ways, and Uriah was murdered. And we see this throughout all of the Bible. People being faithful to God, people obeying God, but the results not being the same in this life. And when we go through life, our actions better not be determined by what's going to happen if we do them. Our actions better be determined by what God's will is for our life. Because when it comes down to it, are we going to live for the people who will forget us one day? And in fact, we shouldn't even say they'll forget us one day. Most people that we do things to impress, they've never even thought of it to begin with. They're not going to forget us because they never knew us. Are we going to live for people who will forget us one day? Or are we going to live for the one who will always remember us? Just like these two midwives. They, as long as God's word lasts, they will be remembered as heroes of the faith. Why? Because they did not obey the king, but they obeyed God. They listened to his voice and the voice of conscience. And they said, I must obey. I fear God. Was the king of Egypt someone to fear? In one sense, he was. But not compared to God. They feared God, and they obeyed him, and they trusted God with the consequences, as Uriah had to do. He died, they lived. What's going to happen to us because we're faithful? We don't know. But we do know our responsibility is not to control what happens around our life. Our responsibility is not to control the things that go on around us when we do right. Our responsibility as Christians is to be obedient and to be faithful. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see a prophet of God who was abused, who was not listened to, who was treated harshly, who was not listened to. Did God honor his prophet? Would be a question we might ask. Did God honor his prophet? And what we see is, though his life was very hard, he's known as the weeping prophet, though his life was hard and the people of God were taken into exile, when we read the rest of the Bible, 2 Chronicles, the book of Ezra, Daniel, and Matthew, what do we see about the prophet Jeremiah? We see something like this. The prophet Jeremiah said this, and it was fulfilled. It's God honoring his prophet. The people of his day did not believe the words of Jeremiah, but God makes sure in his word that we know that he is vindicated and the words of Jeremiah do come true. We think of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, this is, you know, just offhand, this may be the best example in the Bible. John the Baptist, Jesus said, there's not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who rejoiced in his mother's womb. Do you believe that? I do. And everyone who believes the Bible does. Listen, don't be scared of the skeptics. Don't be scared of the people who reject the Bible. They say, do you believe in talking animals? We have a donkey and a snake that talks in the Bible. Listen, they believe we're all talking animals. They believe we came from animals. Why do you listen to them? And why do I listen to them at times? Listen, the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. Obedient to God. The forerunner of Jesus Christ. And at the end of his life, he's in a prison. He doesn't understand. He starts to doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah. He sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one?" And Jesus sends the reply back, bringing some scriptures to mind. "John, look what I'm doing. I'm healing. I'm raising the dead. I'm doing these things. The Bible says that the Bible that you know, the Old Testament that you know, I'm doing these things that you know are signs of the Messiah." And Jesus says, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Blessed is the person who, no matter where in life he finds himself, doesn't take offense at where I put him. John was in prison. He was faithful. He was put in prison. Many of us know why. At this horrible party, this birthday party. And I won't even get into the details. He's put in prison. He's beheaded. And we say, how can a man of God die that way? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth. He went on the cross and he died as a criminal. How can the Son of God die that way? Listen, we do not control the outcome of our actions, but by God's grace, we do control our actions. And that is what we're going to be held accountable for one day. We will be held accountable to whether we were faithful or whether we were not faithful. We will not be held accountable to what happens to us after we're faithful. That is in God's hands. We must trust God. You read stories and hear stories about missionaries, young missionaries being killed on the mission field. Missionaries maybe who had a good career so far, and yet they're relatively young. They go to a field and they're dead the same day. You hear these stories and we ask why. And we can see the fruit of it. We can see those stories burning in the hearts of so many more missionaries that would not even have known about them if they didn't die. We see, but ultimately we don't know why. As far as knowing everything, at least, I should say, we don't know why. But our duty is not to know why. Our duty is to be faithful. You may know someone and you may say, this person was just as faithful as so-and-so was. But this person that I knew is dead now. And the person who was just as faithful to, he still lives. You may say to yourself, I am always sick. I have these ailments. But I love God. I'm faithful to him. So and so that I know, they're faithful. They love God. But they never suffer like I do. Why? We may say, I'm tempted in such a way. I'm faithful to God. Why am I being tempted? And when it comes down to it, as far as us knowing everything, we don't know why. We do not know why, except to know that God is good and God is in control and the results are up to Him. It's like the missionary Amy Carmichael. She had a very rough year, 1 year on the mission field. Things were going on. One person very close to her had died. I believe that was the same year, too, that her mother died. Listen, things were falling apart, some people would say. And some people tried to comfort her, I believe, and say, you know, it's just hard to see how things can happen. It's hard to see how God can work this out for the best. But Amy Carmichael said, we don't have to see when we know. That's what she said. We don't have to see how everything comes together if we know it does. And that's the confidence we have in God. That if we are faithful to God and we do what God has told us to do, we don't have to see how everything comes out. We don't have to see, well, why did that happen to me? We don't have to see that as long as we know it happens for God's best. And that's reality. That's what the Bible teaches us. That everything for the child of God happens for his good. For those who are called according to his purpose. It's for his good. And for God's honor. So the question, we look at this tonight. We see the examples of the midwives. They're faithful. They're blessed. We also see the example of other people. They're faithful. They're blessed in the next life. But they die in this life. We see this. And a big question that comes to mind is, which road will we take? Which road will we go on? Jesus said in Matthew 7, there's two roads. There's a road that's broad, wide, the gate's wide. There's a road that's narrow. And this is part of that road. Will we seek to be faithful to God, regardless of the consequences, or will we try to save our life in this world? And Jesus said, if we try to save our life, we'll actually lose our life. Which road will we take? You that have children, you that may have children in the future, 20, 30, 40 years from now, will your children be thankful for the way that you lived your life? I'm not asking you if your children would be happy that they had an inheritance, they had everything they asked for, or they just lived comfortably. I'm not asking that. Will they be happy that you lived a godly life in front of them, that you prayed for them, that you cared for them? Will your children bless you one day in your memory for the way that you lived and sacrificed? And though you had an easy way to go at times, you said, no, that is not God's way. Because God's way is not always easy. We've seen that and we know that. Will your children rise up one day and bless you for what you taught them? Is it good to teach them a trade? Sure. Is it good to teach them these other? Yes. Do we teach them the Word of God, though? Will they be thankful one day that no matter what else you may have been to them, you taught them about God, that you prayed with them, and that you led them in a life that if they continued down that way, it would lead to life everlasting. It would lead to heaven. It would lead to life eternal. Will your children be happy one day that you were faithful to God and you rejected what the king of America and the king of the world, the devil and all this, you rejected what they said, but you followed God's way and you led them like these midwives who were faithful. You led them. And they'll look back at you and they'll say, that person is a hero of the faith. That person helped me lead to and find Christ. He was a hero. She was a hero of the faith. Will we obey God and be faithful to Him in what we already know to do? Now listen, I think probably no matter what, virtually no matter what local church you walk into, if every person at a local church would begin to start doing the things they already know that God wants them to, or they would stop doing the things they already know that God wants them to stop. Before the preacher ever gets up, before the pastor ever gets up, before anything like this ever happens, the things they already know they should be doing or stop doing, if people would start doing that, everything would change. If we, listen, knowledge is a wonderful thing, but knowledge is dangerous. Knowledge can lead us to be puffed up. Knowledge can lead us to think we're something when we're nothing. It's obedience that matters to God. We need to grow in our knowledge. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to be obedient to what God has said. Listen, if all of us, by God's grace, were trying to be obedient in what we already knew, walking in those doors, we already knew what God wanted us to do or stop doing. I'm telling you, every local church in America, I believe, would be blessed, would be strengthened, and we would be amazed, I think, at what God would do in our midst. If we began to do what we already know we should be doing. These midwives did what they knew they had to do. They had to obey God regardless of the things that were going to happen to them, regardless of the circumstances. They may have had their heads cut off. They may have been thrown in the Nile themselves. Yet they said, we're going to be faithful and we're going to leave the consequences up to God. Listen, we may, under God, be a person that God uses to bring the next great man or woman of God into service. These midwives may very well have never known about Moses. You have the midwives here, then Moses is born. Moses is around 40 years old. He goes out, he sees his people, he leaves. They may have heard the name of Moses, but they didn't know really what God had in store for him. It wasn't until Moses was 80 that he comes back to Egypt. And yet, whether these midwives knew Moses or not, they probably didn't, would be my guess. Because these midwives are probably the chief of the midwives. They're probably older. They're probably dead before Moses ever comes back to Egypt. These midwives, though, played a part in God raising up his deliverer to deliver God's people. Listen, we may never see the benefits. We may never see the results of our personal faithfulness, but God sees them. God will not forget them. And one day in heaven, we'll be rewarded for them. Listen, which road are we going to travel on? Will we travel down the road of faithfulness, leaving the consequences up to God? Or will we travel down the road where we try to save ourselves? And if we do that, we'll actually be lost. This is the road that's set before us here tonight. My Christian brothers and sisters, we have this set before us, this great example of the midwives. Which road will we take? And when it comes down to it, what's God ask? God asks for us to be trusting of Him and to be faithful to Him. And when it comes down to it, that's really not much to ask of us, is it? For God to ask you and to ask me to trust Him and to be faithful to Him, that's really not much to ask. It's true, it costs us our whole life. It changes everything. All that's true. You say, that's a lot. In a sense, it is a lot. But from what God has done for us in sending His Son to die for us, that God has rescued us out of an eternal hell, ever to be punished because we deserve to be punished there, that God has done these things for us, what else matters in life? For God to ask us to trust Him and to be faithful to Him and to trust Him with what happens to us, that is not too much to ask of us. In fact, what else would we want to give to a God who has done this for us? Will we be faithful? Will we follow the lives of these two midwives that are recorded for us that helped bring this great man of God, Moses, into being? Will we be like them? And will we be like Moses, as hopefully we'll see?